And then they had this beginning. Hey, everybody, Scooter, if you want to support the show, make sure you're subscribed to the podcast and whatever podcatcher you use, particularly iTunes. You know, just double check you're subscribed. That'll get it to you. And if you use iTunes or Stitcher, please review us if you have a chance with either a star or honest opinion about how the show works over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/iTunes. Or I don't know how to do it on Stitcher, but you could try it. I don't even know. So give it a shot, but don't worry about it too much. All right, let's get on with the program. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble falling asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. Tonight, well, it's like kind of like a bedtime story. Tonight we talk about Metastasis, the Breaking Bad, the Colombian version of Breaking Bad. Then we'll talk about the show Breaking Bad. Then we'll talk about Metastasis again, probably, and say, well, geez, I'm trying to figure out what this word means. Not sure, is it? I'm trying to learn Spanish. I don't know Spanish right now, but working on learning it. And, you know, but all you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what I'm going to do is try to create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's running through your brain, whatever's racing through your brain, whatever's got you thinking, wondering, worrying, tossing, turning, you know, body burning. Whatever it is, I'm going to try to distract you from that. I'm going to reach my hand across the deep, dark night. And tonight I'm doing my best to literally do that. Here I am. I am in the deep dark night in a good way. All the noise you hear in the background is real. All the crickets that would normally be metaphorically chirping at my jokes, or metaphorically playing the world's smallest violin at my, you know, saying, oh, woe is me. They're, you know, those sounds you hear. Let's listen. Right now we got a plane, waves, wind, and crickets. And not just wind, we have wind traveling through treetops here, or tree middles. But basically, you know, this podcast is not an ambient audio podcast, but, you know, this is how dedicated I am. I'm out here on a family, little family reunion type thing. And I said, geez, the show must go on. As P.T. Barnum once said, the man, you know, who, you know, well, I guess as he, maybe someone else said it first and he said it second, someone that was nice to elephants. So basically what I'm going to try to do, just like these noises are both, you'd say, depending on how you hear a cricket, or a cacophony, is this a cacophony, is that a word, a symphony, what is a group of crickets called, are these even crickets I'm hearing, and the wind seems to be picking up, maybe the wind is delighting in my dullness tonight, but what I'm going to do, the way this podcast works is I talk, and you only, most times people say I talk, you listen, I talk in this case, and you gave me maybe 4% of your attention. Well, you can start off at about it, you know, as high as you're comfortable with. But, you know, instead of running through the spreadsheets or saying, well, what if I would have said this in that situation? Or what am I going to do tomorrow? Instead of all that, you just listen. I literally have a bug landed on my head here. I think it's a moth. Okay, I think it got either, you know, hopefully, just a moth. No. Oh, wait, maybe it's, it may have lodged itself in my fur. 1 second. This is live recorded, you know. Live, like I'm live. I'm here. I don't know if I've gone through this, but I'm in what we call the screen house, which is basically like a, you know, bug-proof area. made up of boards with the material that screen doors are made from stapled to them, and plastic type, you know, kind of like a tent with, you know, it's not glamping, I'll tell you that, but it feels like glamping. But anyway, I'm going to try to take your mind, you know, by this nonsense I do here, this silliness I can brew. I'm going to try to take your mind off whatever's keeping you up at night tossing and turning. And all you got to do is get in bed. And like I said, you could pay attention at first. You know, and hopefully at some point you say, well, you know, he seems like a nice enough chap. That's what the, over in the UK, that's what they say about me. A nice enough chap. You know, good for tea and half a crumpet, and then he loses me. Actually, a quarter of a crumpet. Okay, actually, you know, I offer him a crumpet, and I hope he doesn't take it. And they say over there, they say, that's ye boyfriend. And that's what I do. I'm your boyfriend. I come over imaginarily, and I chatter, and I go on and on. All you have to do is lay back. You listen to me. And ideally, at some point, you just drift off into dreamland. Unideally. But even so, I put a lot of effort into this dullness. I put a lot of effort into the pointlessness. And more than all that, I put a lot of heart into it. You know, I tend to be maybe droll, maybe unemotional, even keeled, they would say, if I was a keel maker. You know, if I was a matchmaker, like in the Fiddler on the Roof, I'd be the match, you know. I'd be mad, you know, I'd say, well, yeah, he's a matchmaker. He matches different, you know, unartistic rocks. He says, look at this rock. It's gray. And so is this rock. I have a match of two gray rocks. Oh, there's a, you know, so what was I saying? I put the whole episode tonight might be an hour and 15 to an hour and 45 minutes. But there's no point where I check out. I'm here. I'm present. And I'm working it. What I'm going to do is we're going to talk about this episode of Metastasis. I think it's episode 11. And I'm going to talk about it. I watched it once. I literally just got done watching Breaking Bad. So we'll talk about Breaking Bad here, depending on how late it gets. I don't want any of the neighbors to get too irritated with me, you know. Doing this mumble, you know, say mumblecore. I'm pretty sure I know what that is. And this is like mumble, snore, mumble. But you really don't want it, you know, your neighbor's adult child in the screen house mumbling too late at night. Yeah, you say, geez, what is going on over there? I mean, that kid has always been strange. But I guess what my point was is I'm going to do my best the whole way through. So if you can't fall asleep for some reason, you know, I'll try to be here the whole time, trying to make you laugh with a little bit of silly stuff, stuff that's mildly interesting and entertaining, so you can kind of lie there and maybe be soothed or balmed, I don't know. But, you know, if you can't fall asleep, I'll be here for a little while. I just want maybe give you a little bit of a respite from whatever is running through your brain. And ideally, you drift off, though. You know, you can be comfortable with me, you know, because I'm not overly ambitious with what I'm going to do with your attention. I'm going to either put you to sleep or, you know, I'll be your companion for a brief spell here and take you on a journey to the, you know, and they say, well, geez, you're not the most observant chap either. That's another thing they say over in the UK. I love the people in the UK. Because they have such nice, you know, short word chap, not the most observant chap. You know, over here they might say something, and I say, I don't know what that means. But a chap, I know. It's like, I say, well, I'm not exactly a chap, because I don't have one of those, I don't have a bowler hat. But other than that, yeah, I'll take it. I'll be a chap for you. So that's it. I'm glad you're here. If this is your first couple of times here, normally we don't have background noise, but, you know, every once in a while I'll do a little surprise or This is just, he said, well, I want to keep recording shows while I'm out of town. One, to try it, see how it goes. Two, because I don't think the pathways of creating a podcast have been burned in my mind. Despite the fact they say most brains are plastic. As those of you listen to most of the podcast know, mine might be more of a gobbledygook. And he said, I don't know if that's quite as plasticine as other human brains. So I want to keep working the podcast muscles. And I've just been, this will be the last thing. I mean, Jesus is pretty dull stuff anyway. But I've never been a personality and been like, follow through it. And I've been, it seemed like from the outside, maybe they'd be like, that guy's a real go-getter. But really, I was just running around like Chicken Little. Some sense, this guy is falling, you know, running from A to B to C to D. But I've never been someone that can consistently put out stuff. And I say, well, geez, is it okay to push myself a little bit on vacation? I mean, I'm cashing in the vase, if you know what I'm saying. But, you know, so don't worry about me. I'm not put out. I'm enjoying this. Everyone else is asleep. They're on East Coast time. I'm on California work time. So it's like not even my bedtime yet. So I'm here with you, and I want to take you across the threshold from waking to sleep. And I'm glad you're here. And I do hope I help you fall asleep. That's what I desire. I yearn. And as the crickets say, you know, whatever, I don't know what the hell they say, but, you know, they're saying something. And you might say, Scooter, those aren't crickets. And I say, I'm sorry. I'm not an ornithologist, you know. And I know those are birds. That was a joke. Well, the joke did not hit with the crickets, so. All right, I'm glad you're here, and good night. All right, housekeeping. We're on the web, www.sleepwithmepodcast.com. You can find older episodes there. You can find most of all our older episodes on iTunes, but the first 20 or so you can find on the website. You can comment on the website. You can email me, feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com. Any feedback, comments, questions, concerns. Another great way to get a hold of me is on Twitter or Facebook, @DearScooter on Twitter, sleepwithmepodcast on Facebook. I try to post bloopers and sleep-related stuff there. We can discuss it, or you can, you know, just chit-chat. And then we also have our Facebook group, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods. That'll take you there. And that's kind of like the where people that listen to the podcast go to talk about, you know, to make friends, actually, build community and support one another in friendly ways and friendship-related ways. And that's probably, you know, one of the, you know, most wonderful surprises that's come out of this podcast. And that got kicked off the ground by Laura and Alexandra. And now Laura, Jennifer B., Julie C., Rachel LG, and Lida Lye are running that as moderators. So I want to thank them. I want to thank Chris Posty Posterson, who does our music over at soundslikeanearful.com. And I want to thank Scotty and Jennifer. Scotty and Jennifer support us by, you know, providing all our artwork and just general, you know, supportiveness. So I want to thank them. I'm trying to think of any other housekeeping before I get to all the thank yous that I have, but, I don't know, I'll get to it on the next housekeeping, I guess. I want to thank Poe, who just sent me a lovely email. I'll be talking more about it, but it just made my day. Rhiannon G sent me an email a little while ago. That was a wonderful email. Our buddy Alex, as in Alexandra, sent me a nice email. I want to thank King SAIZZ over in Norway, over on SoundCloud. We had a nice conversation. I want to thank El Gochorizo, who commented on the website. Over on Twitter, I want to thank Julie RM, new listener, Kyla, new listener, and Ted the dog. Sean C. and his wife, new listeners or semi-new listeners, Frankie, semi-new listener. And then I want to thank Chris D., Adam, Billy, Babs, Kim, Lida, and Emily for their interaction over there. Over on Facebook, I want to say hi to Janet S., David P., Gail T., Brandon G., John V., Joseph H., Julie F., Valerie W., Julie C., Laura, Julie G., Shebby, Jennifer B., Bonnie Sue's. Hey, we got a lot of Julies that support the podcast, and my brother's wife's name's Julie, so, Julie's Aunt Julie Andrews. Is that who played Dorothy? Isn't it Julie, too? I don't know. iTunes reviews, I want to thank, from Australia, Qwerty Pants Man. Who not only sends me a compliment that I'm a dog, a good dog, and dogs are great, but also say, hey, well, can we get a dog on the show? And I would say, yeah, just put it in the queue. So thank you, Qwerty Pants Man. Qwerty Pants Man, that about a man on bed about. And then I just want to make sure I thanked CatGirl1988. Did thank CatGirl1986. And then over here on iTunes, I want to thank Sarah Scott for the email. I want to thank Sarah Scott for the review, Guitar Man for the review, Spicy Shrimp for the review. Oh boy, I'm allergic to shrimp, so. But there was this spicy shrimp place when I lived in LA before I realized I was allergic to shrimp, and that wasn't pleasant after I ate all that spicy shrimp. So thank you for that review, Spicy Shrimp. Review from Drop. Drop Giddy Bomb, who's tried meditation apps, they've tried everything, but something about this podcast, the slow speaking, the engaging dullness, it really works for them, so thank you. And then Jake Rub 1, who says the podcast is amazing, thank you, Dre. So that's a thank you for that review. And if you want to leave us a review, say anything about the podcast and let other people know how it worked for you, tell your story, you can do that over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/iTunes. So that's it. I'm just trying to catch up on all the thank yous. I could never catch up on thanking all of you for the support, but, I'm trying. So let's get on to the show. All right, so we're talking about Season 1, Episode 11 of Metastasis. It starts with this amazing shot of a pink plush against black and white floating in what looks like a river. And then the futon, that's what I put, F-O-U-T-A-N. But I think that must mean floating or fountain, maybe fountain leaves? Oh, fountain heads. Fountain heads with weeds poking through them. It looked like little fountain heads that spray water with weeds. Say, geez, overgrown fountain heads. Very artistic, very beautiful to look at close up. And water's flowing through there. Then we're underwater looking up at the plush. The pink plush, the fuzzy. And then we have a shot from above it that's scooped out of the pool. Or a pond. I say, is this a pool or a pond? And then I say 7/8. Maybe that means 7 or 8. And there's like little baggies. I say, well, geez, someone lost all their stuff here. Let's keep track of it for them. Maybe somebody lost a watch. Maybe somebody lost their glasses. And a guy's dressed for it. He said, well, geez, I don't want to mess up anybody else's stuff. And then there's the title for the show. Next thing you know, we got Jose Miguel on a dirt bike at a store. I can't read this next thing, but I'm not doing the best job with my handwriting. Dude watches his bike. Kind of a down and out guy. Then he meets Walt. They're in like the Nescafe coffee section, which is like an instant coffee. And that's the side Walt's on. And Jesse's in like what looks to be the ramen section. I'm pretty sure in this episode of Metastasis, they're in the same aisle. But in Breaking Bad, as we'll see later, I think they're in parallel aisles, but they really are arguing. It seems like Walt's talking about family, going back and forth. I wrote down that Jose Miguel, I said, gee, something looks different about him. I don't know if he got a haircut. He's got a case of the sniffles. Now, I don't know if that's blow-related sniffles or allergy-related sniffles or just, just a case of the old sniffles. But then a cop rolls in. Jose gets real nervous. And then they get ready to split up, but Walt yells at him. He's like, what do you got to buy something? Come on. I think that's what he says to him. And I think maybe Jose picked up a bottle. It looked like maybe he was looking at a like shelf-stable lard or, some sort of a hydrogenated oil. And I said, Jose, don't do it. Don't do it, man. If you're going to buy a healthy oil or just go for some fresh lard, but not any processed lard, please. What do they call lard? Manteca, I think is lard. And then it's another morning where Cielo wakes up and Walt's not in bed. And Walt, she's like looking around for him, but Walt's cooking breakfast. The wind's picking up here and a car's driving by. But Walt's all chippy. It's like it's Mother's Day combined with Pancake Day, which I know you guys have over in England. And I know I should know when it is. And then I forget. I think it's, is it like the day after American Thanksgiving, maybe? I don't know. Somebody will let me know. But he's like, with pancakes, Father of the Year here. And I think I put Pancake Cafe or something, but Cielo's skeptical, and she looks on, she's like, what's all this about? Walt's like, would you like some orange juice and Narana or something? And Walt's just definitely trying too hard. Everybody can see it. It's like, what are you doing, man? But of course, Walt Jr., any teenage boy's like, okay, pancakes, sounds good. And then the next scene, we have Jose meeting with a person in a suit. And his parents roll in, and he's like, oh, wait, I thought this was a meeting about my investments, oh, dear. And the dad's all nodding, the lawyer's talking about some sort of technicality and kicking him out. The dad has on a yellow polo sweater vest, I think. K, I don't know why. Even mom gets out, says get out. Jose kind of debates with the lawyer, then dad busts in and says, oh no, Jose. And then they're like, Jose, you've been notified, and he's hurt, and the lawyer's real cold, and he sweeps the parents out of the room. And then we're back at this super breakfast that Walter's got going, and, he's, chatting up Junior up like they're best friends again. And Cielo's just looking at now. For Walt Jr., he had a good look going. He had this blue and red striped polo, but with a long sleeve red shirt, t-shirt underneath. And I said he looks pretty sharp. And then Cielo, she's a beautiful woman, and she had on a salmon colored sweater, I would say. And I had to pause it. I said, what would you call that color? Luckily, I had, Benjamin Moore was with me, and also Johnny Crayola, heir to the Crayola fortune, who I just happened to meet, skipping stones. I said, hey, he said, man, that stone is like a slate C, and I said, did you just say slate C, SLATESEA? And just like someone with the name Johnny that is actually cool, he said, indeed. And I said, Johnny Crayola. And I said, you got to be kidding me. And he said, why? I said, I got Benjamin Moore up there crunching a sweater for me. He said, you think you could go up there and help? And he's like, tell me more. And I said, I'll tell you more, Cielo. They said, is that a color? Or, and he said, tell me more about the sweater, I mean. And they said, it's a color. It's not pink, but it's not red, and it's not orange. It does, and I said, hold on, Johnny, because not only does she have the sweater, but she also has a gum color dress on that's not pink either, but close, but different color than the sweater. And he just looked off into the horizon. He said, layers. And I said, and he said, would you suck on either one? And I said, yeah, I would. Like, they do look like they should be fruit flavored. So then him and Benjamin Moore crunched this outfit of Cielos. And I would have thought they would have come out with, you know, more fancier terms. But I guess this is why they're the color geniuses. Salmon-colored sweater, watermelon-colored dress on Cielo, according to these two masters of color. And she looked good, too. And then Walt kind of keeps talking total bullshit. And then finally he says he tries the preemptive strike when he's in trouble. So he brings up the second phone himself. Like, oh, honey, well, guess what I realized. And Cielo just walks off while he's talking. And I also noticed their kitchen looked very upscale, at least compared to mine. But I wonder what John Siracusa would say about their toaster oven, because they have a toaster oven there. I didn't pause it. To try to figure out the model, because I'm not good with that. But they also, I said, that's a nice gadgety kitchen. And then Cielo kind of drives off. Walt tries chasing after her. And then he calls her cell phone, but she's left it behind. And then there's like one of those time-lapse shots. The city traffic goes day to night. Walt's waiting by the front door, and Cielo rolls in. And Walt, again, he's playing all nice, and she's acting all casual. She's got some forms in her hand, I noticed. And she kind of falls into bed, like, tired from the day, she said. And Walt goes, todo bien? Like, everything okay? And she goes, si, todo bien. And Walt's still working her. Like, hey, anyway, I was thinking about something. But she doesn't seem to be giving up. And then the mom, she sneaks into Jose's room. And Jose's out cold. And the room, she's covering her face like the room stinks. And I said, he's tired. Yeah, he's just out cold. And then she notices some weed at his bedside. Oh, he gets up. He's rubbing his eyes. That's why I said he's tired. He's rubbing sleep from his eyes. Having trouble waking up. Hides the weed. He's like, yo, let's talk. This is good that we're talking. But then mom's like, oh, no movers are here. And he's like, mom. Oh, mom is over it. But she's playing cold and hard. And then they get into it. And she gets really upset with him. Gets mad. And then she gets sad. Gracias por todo. You think poor, thanks for nothing is what I think. Gracias por nada is probably what he said. Or maybe he said gracias por todo in an ironic way. And then there's Jethro Tull music playing because Jose Miguel, Walt Jr.'s at the door. Lewis, the Colombian version of Lewis is at the door. And he says, hey, it's Morgan here. And the father's like, Morgan? And at first I thought they were talking about, like that Walt Jr. might have a girlfriend named Morgan. And I was like, that's a nice upscale name. Like, sounds like a good score for him. But then I remembered that Walt Jr. takes on his own name. And Colombian Lewis was rocking a sweet 70s style shirt. Walt grins or girls. A grill CLO about Morgan. And then I put, is the school Morgan? I was still trying to figure it out. And then finally put new name. So I was like, oh yeah. And then we have CLO. She's putting on makeup while they're talking. And then the phone rings. She's like, Walt, can you answer, please? And it's Jose Miguel. And he's like, hey, Walt, I'm in some shit here. I need your help, bro. Yahweh, Parse. And and then Cielo's like rolling out, like, and Walt's like, oh, what the fuck? Or no, I think Cielo was like, oh, who the hell's on the phone, Walt? Don't try to act like it's, you know. And then he's like, hey, baby, can I give you a ride? She's like, I got a taxi, thanks. Then at some point, Walt had hung up. Jose Miguel calls back. And he says something like, I need some plata, profe. I need some money. And Walt is all on his case about calling there, and he hangs up. Then Jose Miguel calls back again, and Walt breaks his phone. He's so mad. And then Jose's at his house. It's cleared out, but he has his dirt bike, and he's got a plastic bag and a box full of his stuff. He gets buzzed into some apartment building with a dude with his son. And at first I was a little, I said, is this an old friend or does he have an older brother I forgot about? But, and the dude looked pretty like upscale cool, but he was clearly trying to impress, like, to, you know, convince Jose he was still cool, you know, and show off for his son and Jose. And then his wife rolls in and he's like, yeah, Jose's going to crash, you're okay. And she's like, can you help me with these bags, babe? And then they leave the son with Jose Miguel, and then she really comes in, grabs him. Oh, no, no. And then they're like, yeah, he's like, yeah, bro, you got to leave. It was an unbelievable, I put a super sweet apartment to get kicked out of. It was a really, really nice apartment. Like, even the level of paintings and framed art they had up in there, and just, it was a beautiful, beautiful place. And then Jose Miguel, he gets on a payphone, his bike gets ripped off. And the same homeless guy, he's drinking wine, he's like, yeah, sorry, man, your bike got stolen. So then Jose goes out and he's wandering. Yeah, he's wandering to where the RVs are stored, the RVs store, the bus in this case. And it's locked in a yard. He hops the fence, he falls into through the roof of a porta potty. Wakes up the dogs. He gets lucky that the dogs just bark. He's covered in liquid. He trudges, like, totally beaten at this point to the bus. He kicks his way into the bus. Smells himself. He's like, man, he puts on a gas mask because he smells so bad. He pulls up some sort of jug of a, like, it looked like turpentine. Or, you know, paint thinner or linseed oil or something for a pillow. And then we have Cielo. She's rolling out of her house in a taxi. Taxi's FFV 233 or 333, just in case you need that number or whatever. Walt's totally staring into space. Walt Jr.'s like, where's breakfast, man? And he's like, let's have some spoiling time. And they go on this driving lesson. And I think Walt was teaching Emmanuel, Morgan, Jose, Walt Jr. And he was pretty good at getting the clutch out, which I can't do. Then I put something unintelligible, Frenax, F-R-E-N-A-X 50. That's what my handwriting says. I don't know what that means. But then they taught, maybe that was a sign, maybe... It's a sign I, you know, something happened to my brain. But they talk about, I think it's the left foot versus right foot. And it gets more and more intense, you know, and then the speed gets more intense. Walt gets mad, starts yelling. And finally he says, Esta bien, Morgan. And it was just like, you know, fathers and sons. I know some that have shared driving lessons, but I know mine went way worse than this, so I can relate. Maybe I'll talk about it during Breaking Bad, or maybe I won't, but I don't know. Then we got Mono's uncle waking up in the junkyard type place. He smells something, and then he kind of goes around, he sees the trash porta potty. He sees wet steps going to the bus. He finds Jose. He's like, hey, man, you got to pay for this toilet and all the money you owe me. And Jose's like, yeah, hey, hold on, let me do some math. And he tries to do some math live in person. And that does not go well. And he's like, just give me 2 days, I think. And then he begs, but the guy kicks him out. And he doesn't answer him. And then he starts making calls about the methylamine. And then Jose's like, well, I'm just going to break the bus out. So he steals the bus. And then we're back at Walt's fruit sales, Cielo Up. Let me see what this says. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it says. Fruit sales, Cielo's Up. Maybe there's fruit on the, I think there was a lot of fruit out on the, their island or whatever in their kitchen. And Cielo's Up and Walt is waiting in it for her in their, like, den-like room where the owl collection is. Most importantly, the owl room. And he's like, honey, we really need to talk. And they have a little sit down where Walt, his first strategy is he kind of begs. And he uses his emotional appeal and he reaches out his hand to her in desperation and she takes it. But then, you know, she's like, okay, is that all? Is that it? And then Walt is totally apoplectic or whatever, like totally frustrated and then really upset. And she just watches silently, you know, irritated or pissed, I put. And Walt is adamant about something. He swears. And then Cielo kind of imitates him. He's like, oh, no, no. And she's like, oh, no, no. And then I said, there's one condition I noticed. I don't know. This is like I said, I'm learning a little Spanish, but I don't know. And then she seems hurt and fed up, and Walt won't let it go. So she's like, all right, I'm rolling out of here. We got some night boating going on here. If you can hear that, maybe night fishing. Yeah, people definitely wouldn't like that. I guess it could be a car out on the road, which is a ways away. The main road. But see, one condition, Cielo rolls out, drives off, and Walt's, you know, their car, their shared car, and he sees Jesse's in the bus by Walt's, and Walt runs on the bus. He goes nuts, though, and he's like, Jesse, blah, blah, blah. And at first, Jesse's kind of like, just like a sad puppy, almost. And he's like, yeah, what about some of that money? And Walt seems to be like, that money's mine. And then whatever he says to Jose, he insults him, he crosses some line and pushes Jose to his limit. Jose says, no, no, no. Time for a little, you know, fun housing, as we call it on this podcast. And they say, let's do some fun housing. And they fun house around, almost like a tickle fight on the floor, almost like a tickle fight, where Jose Miguel is tickling the silly's right out of Walt. And then they're exhausted from that. You know how it goes with those tickle fights, that kind of level of tickle fighting. And they're like emotionally drained, but maybe with a little post-tickle fighting ecstasy too. And they go in the house. Jose's like, hey, can I use your bathroom? Walt's like, go for it or something. Walt grabs some cash. I notice he didn't grab half the cash. And I know some is in English. And I mean, some, I know some's in American. I know not all the money was the exact same. But I said, well, he only didn't give Jose half. But whatever, he gives some money. But pulls some out for Jose Miguel. And then we have Cielo. She's buying cigarettes from a street vendor. And then she gets in her car to smoke, and a lady shames her. She gives her the old, how dare you smoke with a pregnant belly shame look. But Cielo takes a hit anyway. She's like, I've already been shamed. I might as well, you know, do something now. And it's just this great slow scene. There, that theme song plays that I've started to really like. Well, there's almost like a slow-mo shot of her smoking. At some point, she's even the grand finale. I think that was a song. But she's holding her belly for a minute, you know, hand on the belly, nicotine in the bloodstream, and the episode ends. And that was our first run through of Metastasis. All right, so this week I watched Metastasis, Breaking Bad, Metastasis. So we're back on a Breaking Bad. It opens with a black and white pool shot. I noticed the plush, this stuffed teddy bear. I'm not sure it's a bear, but the stuffed guy, his tongue or her tongue is out. Pink plush. I wonder how they shot it on the Metastasis, the Red Pen run through. But you just, I don't know, so visual. I don't want to go on about it because it's like, geez, it's just a color one. But yeah, it was cool looking to me. And especially something about the pink color, but it's upside down. And then there's a bright, bright light, and then a figure scoops it out in one of those skimmers, the old pool skimmer. I've never owned a pool or been, but I know pool skimmers are an important thing. I remember skimming some pools. That sounds like dirty somehow, you know, skimming the old pool. But no, just skimming an actual pool. You say, geez, I can't wait to get in this pool. Let's skim the hell out of it. Because I don't, you know, you get the leaves out. But maybe the parents were like, you can go in the pool if you skim it. But they skim it, the skimmer and the bear, the plush are dripping. There's lots of bags of stuff, Then we're at a convenience store. Is it the same one as Walt Jr.? I'm pretty sure it was. And then we see Jesse, and the bum calls him, hey, Captain America. The guy who's down on his luck. The guy who's down on luck says, hey, Captain America. They put, if I could fly, the song plays. If I could fly, I don't know why I don't know it. I just watched the episode a little while ago. But that song plays. And then we have Jesse and Walt meeting up. And again, it's hilarious when these two, and then I think they're in the canned ham section. Jesse looks terrible. His hair is matted and greasy. And you're just like, this is a stupid idea. Walt's like, you got a better idea? They're like, boy, fine, whatever. And so what do we do? What's the plan? And Walt's like, there's no plan. Nothing until it settles down. And Jesse's like, 5 minutes ago or one episode ago, you were yelling at me, you know, to start, be prepared to cook. And then Walt's like, well, look what I just put my family through, you know, I can't, you know, leave my house, my wife's worrying, it's time for me to mend fences. And then Jesse said, well, what about me, fence fixer, you know, your brother-in-law took all my money, and Walt gives him $600, and Jesse's like, you know, what about the rest of the money? Walt's like, what money? He's like, half your money's mine. We're 50-50 partners. And then Walt, you know, we get the dark Walt, and Walt says, reminds me of me. He says, meaning what exactly, Jesse? You know, I'm going to suffer for it because your carelessness. You're the one that wanted to work with Tuco, Walt, Jesse says. And then Walt's like, you know what? No contact. I got to get out of these canned ham aisle, and we're not going to have any contact. And then Jesse goes to leave, and he's like, no, 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 I leave first. And it was like, what? And then we're at Walt's house, and Skyler wakes up. She's like, Walt, you know, when Walt's down in bed, she's like, Walt. And then Walt's like, I think Walt says, I don't know. They said, hey, Walt says, hey. And then Walt's cooking breakfast. He's wafting pancake smells at Skyler and Walt Jr. He's going for Father of the Year. Skyler's totally skeptical. At one point, Walt says, hey, eat up. The pancakes are not getting any hotter. You know, Walt Jr.'s like, what's going on? You never cook. He says, hilarious, Groucho, which Well, Junior does have, he is thick of brow like Groucho was, like dark hair, but I don't know if he's a Groucho, though. And then Wolf's going for this father-son bonding moment. He's talking about how good Juice is. And then he's, like, defending, like, they cut, you know, to, like, a little bit later in the break, because Wolf's defending Steely Dan. And, you know, saying how good Steely Dan is. And Walt Jr.'s like, Dad, dude, this is the point when a man reaches a certain age and he's holding on a little too tight. And then Walt says, what about a Baja Skaggs, I think. And even Skyler laughs at that one. And then Lewis shows up and Walt's still talking, you know, well, geez, we've done something wrong. Our son doesn't know who Baja Skaggs is. And Skyler's like, I don't know who Baz Skaggs is, dude. And then Walt's like, hey, honey, I heard about this great, talk about, you know, again, we've said this before, but this great bad acting. Walt's like, there's a fiction writers conference up, you know, it looks really good and top-notch, and maybe I could go with you, you know, unless you want your own space, you know, but I could go with you totally, you know, totally go together. And then he starts talking about the second cell phone, and feeding his BS, like he tries to do the old, like we talked about piggyback apologies. This is like the piggyback conversation, or the conversation change sneak, you know. So anyway, I was thinking about that a second, and the camera holds on Skyler, and for a second it slowly pulls in, you know, closer to her, and she just has this wonderful look of like, well, this is total bullshit, Walt. And it's great, and Skyler keeps talking, Walt keeps talking, and we stand Skyler, and then she's up and she's out of there. I put, to remind myself, we'll see if I remember to look up stuff about wooden sidecars, like cars with this wood, because she drives off in her fake wooden sidecar. And I had, as a growing up, we had two different station wagons that I remember that had fake wooden sides. One light blue, sky blue, and then another dark blue, like a navy. Both with that fake wooden sides. And then I know I think there was a Town and Country minivan for, you know, the early minivan days. But Walt calls Skyler's phone, and it rings, it's at home. Then we have Jesse in the law office, and the lawyer's, like, ready, and Jesse's like, for what might help? And he's like, his parents come in, and Jesse's like, oh, it's another intervention. And he's like, no, Jesse, you got to vacate the premises. Albuquerque 87104 law something, number 50-something, you know, states, His mom, he's like, you're kicking me out of the house. And his mom's like, a DEA agent, you know, showed up. And he never gave it to you. You're just allowed to stay there. And Laura's like, yeah, your parents are property owners. And he's like, we talked about this. We were going to split the money if I sold the house. And his mom's like, you know, I saw the basement of the house. I saw the meth lab down there. And he's like, you have a key? I mean, it was like, Jesse, come on, buddy. You didn't think of that? Your mom looks like the nosy type. She's been, you know, digging through your... And she's like, I don't think they said it. He showed that they had pictures of the... And I was like, oh, boy. And they're like, we could lose the house to forfeiture. You know, the police could seize it. And they're like, we're not willing. And he's like, it's all cleaned out. And then they say, you have 3 days, Mr. Pinkman, to vacate the house. And I was like, oh, that's pretty harsh, Mr. Pinkman, they called him. And then the next scene is Walt's waiting. Now, I noticed there was an Afghan behind him. Afghans have come up on the show again, or what I would call an Afghan. And I said, geez, and now I'm thinking about it, and even last time I joked about it, but I'm like, is that some sort of pejorative term? Maybe I should look into it. But to me, an Afghan is like a blanket your mom or your grandmom or your aunt makes. I don't know if, again, it shows what I said. I don't know if that's a crocheting or knitting. I think those are, it's one of those two. With hooks or with just the pokers. But I think just with the pokey things that, you know, when you pretend. I think I did this material already, but, you know, fake walrus teeth. Pretend to stick it in your ear. Stick it in your ear to your cousin's ear too far. You know, go to, you know, pretend they're, you know, do different. Say, geez, could I bend this? Oh, boy. And then, you know, your mom cries. And then she says, I have to, you know, go stay at your grandmother's for a while. But this particular Afghan, it had a V, I think it was folded over the back of a couch. But it had a, so it had a V pattern. Might have been part of a diamond pattern. But it went, let's see, I got it. Like, this is like iambic pentameter, but with the Afghana pentameter, it went brown, H brown, tan, red, brown, H brown. I don't know what H brown stands for, though. Tan. Why would I say H brown? But they're red, I mean, because tan. Interesting. I don't know my own. It's like I have. It's not shorthand or longhand. It's mystery hand. He does use a steno pad. Does he do his show notes in shorthand? Mystery hand he uses. It's a mystery even to him when he reads it. Parts of it. Riddle hand. Yeah, no, I don't use shorthand. I use riddle hand. Yeah, I went to correspondence school for that. Wrote letters to myself that I couldn't read. Accidental correspond, you know, corresponding with myself, which I do. I'm taking the notes. I'm corresponding with my future self, you know, confusing my future self. I also noticed there's a giant, one of those giant wood forks on, like, one of the sides of the cabinet in the kitchen. Very, you know, thing you see in your friend's house growing up. You don't have one. If, you know, if you're going to do some comedy when the parents aren't home, it depends on, you know, what age you are, but you can use that fork for a lot of comedy, you know. You know, pretend you're going to toss a salad. Regular eating out of it's not too funny. And then as you get into later high school and it's like 4 a.m, you know, you figure out other, you know, things. But usually you just end up embarrassing yourself. So you're probably better off maybe doing some low, you'd say, geez, that's a great fork. Where do I, but then they might take that as a, you know, an insult. Like, that's like they're using, what is this called? Sarcasm, but it's not. He said, no, I'm trying to do a comedy routine here. Kitchen cabinet comedy tour. Scooter's always looking for a new, you know, he wants to be like the kings of comedy. He's like the kid, he does the, you know, material in kitchens. Oh, no, on kitchen cabinets. Yeah, so that's the giant fork routine there that I'm working on. But can I get it? Does anybody know what I'm saying? Can I get a what? That a giant wooden fork or giant wooden... Sometimes people have a matching wooden fork and spoon. Sometimes it has things. But this one looks like it was purchased at a yard sale. And then they stuck it up there. And they said, well, listen... Jeez, I didn't even notice we had that stupid fork here. Still won't. Oh, Skylar, remember? You know, we said, remember? And then she says, "So what? How did we?" And then they would might have a little cute argument about it. Well, didn't we get that from? No, we got it from the. No, your mother. That is your mother's lucky fork, Walt. Anyway. Moving on, Skylar rolls in. She doesn't say anything about the fork, but Walt's like, "I fixed the garage door." And he's all dirty and grimy. And he's like, "Where were you?" And she goes, "Out." And Walt tries, like, every move in the book. Oh, you know, fix the garage. Oh, boy, I think I should, you know. He's like, you know, all that. I think I'm going to go back to that cancer support group, honey. That was such good stuff. I really need to get talking about my feelings and learning how to. But Skylar's like, "Walt, man. This, I got to tell you, the way this episode slowly unfolds and the conclusion it reaches, and then just especially watching it for a second time is so powerful, and seeing these missed opportunities that, well, I mean, well, maybe not, just seeing the choices the characters make, I guess, and the consequences is great. And this is one of them, like, wolves. We'll see it plays out. But again, I was talking about the acting in this scene, the posture, and the unspoken body language. It's just so good. It's so good. These two, it's just wonderful to watch. And then we have Jesse's room. We see his fish tank. We see a picture of him with his aunt. Very cute. We see a ton of weed. We see Jesse out cold. His mom wakes him up. He's got a black shirt with a silver money sign on it, which was sweet. He thinks he's still got his mom. He's like, he's trying the same stuff Walt's trying. I guess I didn't realize this till just now. And his mom's not having it. He's like, yeah, I'm glad you're here to talk, Mom. Like, let's get this, this has been a wake-up call. And I'm glad that I can finally start to get my life, business, school, computers. This is great. We're talking. And she goes, the time for talking has passed, Jesse. And then there's movers. He's like, I thought this was a wake-up call. She says, everything's going in storage. When you clean it up, you can have it all back. And then it gets harsh, fast, but good. This is another great scene. But Jesse says, something about Jesse growing up. He said, why don't you grow up? Ginny, his aunt, Ginny wanted him. He said, she wanted me here. I was the one who took care of her. I took her to her appointments, made her lunch. I earned this. Her mom's like, you didn't make her lunch. And then he's like, what did you do, Mom? I was the one there for her, not you. And she's like, don't do this, don't do this. And she's like, and now you're making it worse. You're kicking, you didn't help your sister or whatever, and now you're not helping your son. He goes, what's wrong with you? And she goes, leave your keys in the padlock for the garage outside. And he's like, what are you going to do, Mom? And she's like, I don't know, Jesse. And she's like, but get it together. And he goes, this is going to help big time. Jesse with the big times is funny. Another thing I noticed was there's in the background, there's a neon bongo drum. I don't know if that makes another appearance in the show, but I said, geez, that's a neon bongo drum. And I said, does Jesse bongo? But it was neon. I said, well, it was probably a, impulse purchase by Jesse, maybe. And then if you guys, you don't know how happy it made me, but I didn't take a lot of notes about it, but Walt's downstairs making omelets, doorbell rings, it's Lewis, we see Lewis. I didn't take many notes about Lewis, actually, I didn't take any, I just said, Lewis is at the door, 2 exclamation points. But it was like, you want a New Mexican style omelet? I'm making omelets. And Lewis is like, me and Flynn got to get going. And he's like, Flynn? And this is the whole thing with Walt Jr. changing his name. And Walt's like, what? Who's Flynn? And Walt Jr.'s like, I'm Flynn. And he's like, oh. And he's like, yeah. And Lewis is like, bye, Mr. White. And then Walt's like, Skylar's putting on makeup, brushing her hair. And Walt's like, Flynn, what was it, Earl Flynn? What is this? And Skylar's like, this is what he likes to be called. And he's like, what's wrong with Walter Jr.? She's like, don't take it personally, he wants his own identity. And then Walt gives, do you think Lewis knew about how I went nuts, though? And she's like, Walt, that's his best friend. Of course he talked to him. And he's like, I made omelets. And while Skylar's brushing her hair, this is a compliment. I thought it was it reminded me of Beverly D'Angelo. Probably best known for National Lampoon's Vacations. And her ability to play off of Chevy Chase with that kind of same thing Skylar is doing. I don't even know how to describe it. But a stoicness, but out of irritation. With a in Chevy in the National Lampoon's out of a goofball, in this case Walt, I don't know, very Beverly D'Angelo to me, and I mean that in the most in the highest. Calling someone Beverly D'Angelo-esque is a compliment in my book. Then the phone rings, and she's like, Skyler's like, you better get that phone. And then Jesse's calling. His phone was the same color as the bongo, neon green. Skyler rolls out, and Walt's like, what part of no contact did you not understand, Jesse? And Jesse's like, I got a problem. He's like, I don't care. And then Walt's like, oh, sorry, I'm not interested in pay-per-view. And Skyler's like, I'm not, come on, Walt. And then he hangs up, and she's like, rings again. She's like, you should probably get that, Walt. I'll be back later. And he's, Walt's like, what are you doing? And Jesse's like, I need some money, man. And Walt's like, I gave you $600. And yet, well, Jesse's like, yeah, Walt, I don't have any place to live. And he's like, you smoked that $600. He's like, no. He's like, no, no, no. And he's like, Jesse, he's like, no, no, no. And he's like, well, it's like, Jesse, these are your problems, not mine. No contact. Don't ever call here. And he's like, when the moment's right, I'll get a hold of you. And then he's like, you're not listening. And then they yell at each other. They smash up their phones, both of them. Walt throws away the omelets. He breaks it was a phone booth. He broke the phone. Hurts his hand. He yells. Oh, no, no, he broke, that was jumping ahead, no, he breaks his hand on the phone, and then Walt does, but Jesse hurts his hand, yells at the mover, and he's like, yeah, thanks, man, hey, yeah, you forgot the ice tray, it was great, another one of Aaron Paul anger scenes, he's like, you forgot the ice trays. All right, the next scene's at this, like, wicked hip apartment. Now, I was like, is this the same apartment Walt lives in later? Like, the same apartment building years later or seasons later? But Jesse's there with his buddy, and he's like, man, we got to get the hammer up and running, man. And it's this pushover dad. And his wife comes home. She's like, Paul, could you help me with these bags in the bathroom? And then you're like, oh, this is spells curtains for Jesse staying there. And then she's like, Finn, nap time. And then the next scene is Jesse's on a payphone. And he says, I already called Badger. And he's like, just tonight. And they're like, no. And then Jesse gets really, he takes out his frustration on the payphone. And then he goes back and his bike has been stolen. And so the next thing he does, he shows up at the junkyard, which is all green, lit in green. And notice in the background, like the next lot over was full of porta potties, it seemed like. Which I thought, I said, oh, geez, is that full? Are those all porta potties? And then Jesse goes over the fence into the junkyard. He lands on the top of the porta potty. I notice he was really good coordination because it almost tips over. He regains his balance and then he falls through, and then he falls down into the porta potty, and then he falls out and he goes his way to the RV, and he's sick and sad. And he goes to sleep in the RV, upset. And then the next morning is Skyler's out. Walt's just sitting there grinding his teeth. And Walt Jr., a.k.a. Flynn. So we had Finn and Flynn. Yeah, Finn and Flynn. Oh, Private Eyes. Private Eyes. But he says, hey, where's Mom? What's going on for breakfast? And Walt says, hey, let's do something fun. And it's driving lesson time. Walt says, you know, hey, look how your hands are at the 10 and the 2. And he's like, it's easier on the break. He's like, you've done this. And he's like, yeah, Lewis has been helping me out. But then Walt's like, okay, let's do a left-hand turn. And then he's like, oh, wait a second, are you using both your feet? And Walt Jr.'s like, yeah, I am. And he's like, no. And he's like, yeah. He's like, you can't use one foot on each pedal. And I've always wondered this. I agree with, I've never gotten a clear explanation other than, you know, a brain. Because Walt Jr. says, why not? And Walt says, because you can't. And then he says, and he goes, this is easier. And one says there's the easy way and there's the right way. So let's do it again. And I've had some bad driving, experiences. One day I'll share. Driving instruction problems. And then I found the person that was right for me, who, you know, was this is a very old patient man. And the other person, I had a crush on her. So it was perfect. It was just the three of us. So, I mean, she didn't like me, but, it still worked, you know. I learned the 10 and the 2. But Walt's like, yeah, man, and Walt just gets more and more testy. And Walt Jr., you know, the pressure when you're, you know, and then he gets his foot stuck on the gas or the brake, can't get on the brake. They run into a barrel, boom. And then we're back at the junkyard. And I noticed that guy was chewing tobacco. I also noticed he had the plastic bags that are full of those water things to keep bugs away or whatever. I've always wondered, no pennies in there. A lot of times you see pennies. Sometimes you just see the plastic bags hanging from the eaves of the front of the house. He sees the mess with the RV, spits his tobacco. He sees the leading to the RV, finds Jesse in there. He's like, hey, if you want to leave here, give me $1,500. And then Jesse's like, I'll give you $1,750 if you don't take my cook stuff. That's all I got left is the cook stuff. And the guy's like, no, get out of here. He's like, Clovis, come on. And then Clovis calls, but Jesse takes the RV. Then we have Skylar getting out of the shower. She seems all refreshed. And then Walt's like, honey, can we talk? And he kind of looks down. She crosses her arms. He's like, sit down. Let's discuss things. And then Walt, believe it or not, talks about a dream he had. He says, I dreamed I own an antique bike shop in Ireland. And then he says, I want to apologize for, you know, being so private and emotionally absent. And just, you know, cancer's no excuse. I'm really trying to get out of you being mad at me, so let me think of some other stuff. I haven't been a good partner, but I love this family. And I don't want to lose contact. And she says, thank you, I agree. And they hold hands, or he says it. At first they're on opposite sides of the couch. Skylar, the whole time, Walt's talking, she's thinking, her mouth's closed. Holding their hips. Walt may be holding the hips. There's frowning. Skylar frowns. She says, is that it? And she holds her hands up. Walt holds his hands up. And Walt says, he says, is this what you're going to do to me? You know, quiet treatment, going out all day. You're angry. Let's talk about it. And he says, if you're upset, and she's like, you're up to something, Walt. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about, Skylar. And it quickly escalates. He's like, do you think I'm being unfaithful? And she says, would you even tell me that? He's like, of course I would. And she's like, well, and he's like, well, I'm not having an affair. You want me to swear to God, right hand to God? And she's like, I heard you, Walt. Congratulations, you're not having an affair. And he says, no, congratulations to you, Skylar. Great job. You know, what do you want me to do? And then she says, okay, Walt, shut up and say something that's not total bullshit. You want to know what you have to do? You have to tell me what's going on, really what's going on right now, today. No excuses, no apologies. No more, you know, super dad breakfasts. And she says, you don't want to lose contact with me? Then tell me now. And he's like, what do you want me to tell you? And she says, I don't know. But this is what was Walt's chance, I think, to come. Obviously, Skylar's right. Something weird's going on. And she gives Walt the chance to spill his guts, but he passes. He sticks to his guns. And I think Walt says something like, we're not done here. He says, you know what I've done for this family? I think that's when Skylar's driving away. He says, we're not done here. You know what I've done for this family? And then he sees the RV and Walt rolls in. And what gets really nasty, he's like, what are you doing? Why are you blue? Why do you stink? And Jesse's like, my parents are kleptomaniac douchebags. And he says, Jesse, you're so stupid. And he goes, I know it's not optimal. He goes, you came to my house. He goes, what is wrong with you? And Jesse's like, nothing. And he's like, well, what if Skylar saw you? What was the plan, genius? And Jesse's like, I don't know. And Walt's hair's in him. He says, you don't think. You never figured out how to think. Jesse's like, I'm sorry. And he's like, just give me half the money, I'll get out of here. And he goes, half the money? He goes, there is no your half of the money. He goes, why should I be penalized because you're sloppy? And just like, dude, it's a 50-50 partnership. And then Walt gets all, he's like, partners in what, man? I'm the one that does everything. You're just a junkie. And at some point, you know, things cross the line. And not quite 50-50. Oh, okay, I'm ahead of myself here. But it gets really nasty, and they get into a tickle fight. They tickle each other and to exhaustion. So then they go in the house exhausted from the tickle fight. And they go in, and Walt says, hey, don't touch anything. And he goes and gets the money out from the hiding spot. He doesn't split a 50-50, though. That's what I put, not quite 50-50. He splits it maybe 60-40. He says, well, I'm going to keep this little extra stack for me. I notice he pulls a garbage bag out of a little ducky diaper bag for Jesse's money. And then they sit in the kitchen, both their arms are crossed. It was a nice shot of these socios, these parceros, partners. And going with the theme, he says, hey, Jesse, you want some breakfast? And then we're at the same store from the beginning, same store where Walt Jr. bought his beer, tried to. I think the high, maybe not the same store Walt was arrested at, though, the high-low market. But Skylar goes in, or she's at the same store, she's buying cigarettes. There's a nice country song playing, I know I should know who it's by. I think it was called Pretty World. And it's playing a sad, sad song, and Skylar's feeling sad. And she gets in her car to smoke a cigarette, and she gets shamed, but she still smokes anyway, and she savors that hit. And then the song, Look at the Sunshine, starts playing. And that's the end of your episode there. So pretty good, pretty good stuff. All right, so this is a red pen run-through of Season 1, Episode 11 of Metastasis. It's only one season. Well, I guess it's two on... But, you know, just one telenovela. I think the name of the episode for this one is En La Mala. I don't know if that's in the bad. But this is when I said, how did they shoot the scene? Like, was the bear green, the plush bear? Or, I'd like to Google that. They also say stuff like, Yo veré en un... Lugar lleno de cámaras, en fin sospechen, por ahora no, si y mientras tanto y ok, Huberia twice, Gesset at least, pasado, será que puede calmar, si y mientras tanto y ok, parcero, a donde va. Yo salgo primero. Lavar todo a ver. Hugo de Toronaja. That was a juice. Hugo de Toronaja. Abajo de Haban. Naranja. That's orange juice, I think. Codigo Sigan. Escachando. Torgo, que dado, que tas, y hola, sotano. I noticed instead of Steely Dan and Boz Gags, Walt Jr. was talking about Daniel Santos. So that's probably something I should look up to. Lucho, Indeves, Podria, Safeway K, Embare. I was curious of what the cost of living in Colombia was after looking at some of these phenomenal places. And I was like, geez, like, in the class structure and stuff, I was just curious about it. Allegra, Borahi. Is that what, when Skylar says, Cielo says Borahi instead of out, I was Borahi. Que tal vez. Entraste, estuve, carrera, y mi baúl, madurar, madure, encima, haz algo, hola, lucho, algún, chao, dijo, haya, sicho, si claro, se la fumo, suyos, bambío, Baleza, ero lo máximo miedo, rumba, tampoco, agale, conmigo, amer, alcalde, salio, que cosa prende, freno, metes dale, suave, suave, acuerda, piorbo, parobo, cuobo, cruzas, frena, franaste, pongas eso, palabra, tampoco, busito, paranelo, aguacate, oh, this was what the salesman was saying, aguacate, piña, banana, banana, mana, aguacate, podemos hablar, en fin. I don't think I mentioned that, though, in the first one. There was, like, a fruit vendor, fruit juice vendor, as Cielo was leaving one time selling fruit juices. I think that's what he was selling, or fruit. But aguacate. Esto es todo, así como así así, huye, o se crees que te estoy siendo infiel, no sé, amante, lo uro, digo, socios, that's partners, I know that, presta el baño, dime una sola cosa, dímelo ya, genio, abro. I'm getting that genio down, you know, I think. Yeah, wasn't it de mal genio, meant crone, right, or something? And I think that's it for our red pen run-through. That was a quick one. And let's get on with the show. All right, it's language learning time here for episode 11. And we're just going to start right out. En la mala, in bad. In the bad, maybe. You know I'm in la mala, you know it. Yo veré, yo veré. I'll see. And I think that sounds like a song, like a boy band song. Yo veré, I'll see when you smile at me. Didn't one of the minions sing that song? And I'll see, 'cause it's gonna be you. Anyway, en un lugar, a lug, probably wrong. Lleno de cameras, full of cameras, that's not... enfrien suspension, cool down suspect. It's a lot of songs here. You got to slow it down. Ooh, watch out. You're gonna lose control. Enfrien suspension. Oh, I guess you wouldn't need suspect in that. And you guys might be like, poor Aura, no, not yet with the singing scooter. And I'd say, si, mentras tanto yo que, and if both mentras that. Parcero, we know his partner, my partner in crime. Huberia would. That sounds like, that's usually a boy band song, would. There's everything they put out, if they put out 10 songs, one of them's going to have would in there. W-O-U-L-D. No, W-O-O-D. Passado, last. That'll be the last time I sing. No, it won't. Ser que se puede calmar. You can become. Ser que se puede calmar. You can become. And then I guess maybe you could move it around. Can you become? Ser que puede calmar? I don't know. Is that as easy? Is it easier than English where you just change? Ser que puede calmar. You can become. But then if it was an action movie and the mentor was, you know, saying it to the guy, he'd say, Ser que puede calmar. Remember that guy? Who's his name? Ruben? The guy who's like, the Colombian Jason Statham. You can become. How about this one? Adonde va yo salgo primero? Where will I go first? But Walt was saying, you know, I'll go, you know, where I go first, you know. This is where I go first, bro. To Jesse. See, I don't think he doesn't use bro. Here's one. Lavar todo a ver. Wash it all to sea. You know, you say, that would be a strange way, but a probably good way to say, for an atheist driving prayer, you'd say, you know, if you don't pray, but you're atheist, you'd say, before you get on the road, a lot of people say a prayer. I know I've seen some people say a prayer. You could say, Labar todo a ver. Wash it all to sea, and then you'd say, okay, I better clean the windshield before I go. So, yeah, I think that'll be in my book of, pro-am tips. The atheist driving prayer. Atheist pre-starting the car, post-starting the car before putting it in drive, atheist prayer. What was it again? Lavar todo a ver. Wash it all to sea. And then you might say, well, Jesus, well, I'm an atheist. I'm looking for a little nugget at breakfast time. And I'd say, well, how about something a little mysterious, like Hugo de Torona, do grapefruit juice. And they'd say, well, Jesus, a question or a statement? And I would say, do grapefruit juice. And they'd say, oh boy. And they may say, Codigo, code. I'm not speaking in code right now. Abajo, down. You cool it down. We got to slow it down. Watch out. De haban. Haban. De haban. Let. I guess it's episode 11. It's for me, time for me to start learning a new vowel. Maybe on episode 12. Because I know we got oh. We almost got O down. Sigan, follow. Anchando, throwing. Otorgo. I grant. Yeah, that'd be good. I guess that's not okay. How about this one? Un hola sotano, an underground pot. Who lives in a underground pot under the sea? Un hola sotano. He just said the same. Okay, well, I'm working on it. Quedado, I stayed. You know, I stayed and tried to make it funny. It just never was. Lucho, I fight. That makes sense. A luchador is a grappler. Daniel Santos. So let's just, you know, this is going to be, this translation is going to be interrupted by facts. I'm shooting over Wikipedia because they said in Breaking Bad they talked about, not Jethro Tull, A19. Well, we can't, why is my brain blanking right when Jenny, no, And we can't win over, so we won't wow to me. But yeah, and Steely Dan, Walt talks about Steely Dan and Boz Scaggs. But in Colombia, they talk about Daniel Santos. And I listened to some Santos songs today, and it's phenomenal. Phenomenal guy. Daniel Doroteo Santos Bentencourt, 1916 to 1992, is a singer and composer of boleros, an overall performer of multiple Caribbean music genres, including guaracha, plena, and rumba. And over the course of his career, he adopted several names and became known as El Jefe and El Inquieto Ana Cobarro, yeah. He was born in Puerto Rico and went to elementary school. In 2004, he moved to New York City. He dropped out of high school. He was 15 years when he began looking for work. One day he started to sing, Te quiero dijiste, you said, I love you. And someone passing by knocked on his door, invited him to join the trio, Trio Lirico. And then he started singing. He returned to Puerto Rico only to return to Manhattan to acquire a job as a singer at WKAQ, one of the main radio stations. In 33-34, Los Chilenos, a club near Broadway, he worked on the weekends. It says here, according to this, he lived a life of excess with many romances. He lurked at the Cuban Casino Cabaret in Manhattan. He sang, waited on tables, was a master of ceremonies, and sometimes he was paid up to $30. On one occasion, he was singing Amor Perdido, Lost Love. Without knowing, the composer of the song, Pedro Flores, was in the audience, and Flores liked what he heard. Invited him to join his group, El Cuatero Flores, which also included Marta Silva and that's when he started to gain fame. In the 40s, a lot of Puerto Rican men were drafted for World War II, among them Santos. He recorded Desperadida, My Goodbye, from the viewpoint of an army recruit who had to leave his girlfriend and his ailing mother. Became a hit. But he, you know, wrote that song right when his draft papers arrived. He was sent to Maui. He trained in Kentucky. And he was in the Pacific Theater. But he, I don't know what action he saw. And on. He went to Cuba, Puerto Rico. And the legacy he had a semi-autobiography, a lot more stuff here. I'll link to it in the show notes, but I really wanted to look in who Daniel Santos was. And if you Google him on any music service and listen, you'll be like, oh boy, this is some hip-shaking, good cooking and dancing music, I would say. Lucho again, I Fight, Hindeves, couldn't look up, Podria, could. He Say Fue Que, I Was That. Allegra, Happy, Por Ahí, Over There, Que Tal Vez, Maybe, was that a, You May Be Right, You Que Tal Vez, You May Be Loco, Que Tal Vez, You May Be Lunatic, You're Looking For, and Try Stay, You Entered, Estuve, I Was, Carrera's a race, en mi boal, hey my boal, so boal must be a slang term, encima, above, madurvar, don't know, madure, mature, has algo, do something, Hola Lucho, hello I fight. That sounds like a good song. Hello I fight. Hello, hola, Lucho. Oh, hello. I don't have the voice for that. Algoon sum. Chow bye. Diho said. Hiya. Beach, like Beechwood. B-E-E-C-H. Si claro, yes, of course. Se la fumo, I was the smoke. Okay, that's our phrase of the week. And that would be se la fumo. I know a lot of people are dealing with forest fires. But I think an atheist, we could make a little atheist. They say, well, we don't like that you're calling it prayers. So I'd say, well, I'd think of another thing, but say, se la fumo, I was the smoke. Or you could say, that'd be like a confusing way of saying I used to smoke. Se la fumo. Suyos, yours. Suyos, truly. Yours, truly. Bombillo, bulb. Ero, obeleza, beauty. Ero, lo maximo, the maximum arrow. E-R-O. Rumba, rumba. Medio, fear. Tampoco, neither. Conmigo, with me. Agale, make. Acalde, mayor. Amir, no. Salio, I went. Quecosa, what? Prende, catches. Freno, break. Metes, no. Dale, do it. Suave, suave, soft, smooth, man. Rico, suave. Pongas, you put. Eso, that. Cuobo, I keep having trouble with that, and I think I figured out what it was, and then I forgot. Cruzas, you cross. Frena, slows. Frenaste, something to do with breaking or slowing down. Acuerda, remember. Palabra, word. Tampoco, neither. Parenlo, stop it. Aguacate, avocado. So pineapple, banana, avocado is what that guy had. Podemos hablar, we can talk. En fin, anyway. Esto es todo, that is all. Así como, as well as. Así, así, so, so. I can't believe I even wrote that down. O say, that is. Grace que te estoy, I thank you. Siendo being infiel, unfaithful, no say, I don't know. Amante, lover. Amante, that might be the word of the week, lover. Lo juro, I swear. That's another, we're getting into boy band songs again. But they wouldn't say lover, that's a little too strong for a boy band. But lo juro. That would be, you know, they are always swearing in boy bands, and I don't mean the kind of swears that make old people cringe. I mean, like, and I swear to the moon and the stars and the sun. I think we already covered that one. Socios, that's partners. Presta Albano lends the bathroom. Huye flees. Dime una sola cosa. Tell me one thing. That would be another one. That's a good boy band song. Dime una sola cosa. Maybe Daniel Santos. He could, you know. Someone, a crooner. That might be a good crooner song. Tell me one thing. Tell me one thing, my amante. What else we got? Dimelo. Yeah, already. Henio, genius. Abro. I open my mouth and songs come out, abro. So that's it for this week in language learning. 101 words, thank you. 101 lookups.